Genesis 1:1. Would you read the first scripture with me? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. What's the first thing God created? No, time. In the what? Beginning. The first thing he created was what? Time. Think about this. The first thing he created was time. So that must have been very significant to him. I mean, you know, we walk around thinking time's over. You know, it's just time. But to God, it's something specific. Time. In other words, he took a chunk out of eternity, said, hold on, everybody. I'm going to do something right here. When God said, when God made the choice to create time, he chose to establish something specifically. You know, everybody hears that saying time is of the essence. The essence of time. God created time. It was the first thing he created. He took a chunk out of eternity and said, listen, I'm going to create a universe, and I'm going, that's why Jesus said, I am the what? Beginning and the end. So where there's a beginning, there's a what? There's an end. So God took a chunk out of eternity and chose to colonize this chunk that he created out of time, which is called matter, where he created the heavens and the earth. Are you with me? Because the heavens were not created yet. Even his throne room in the heavens, he created. He chose to express himself in a specific way to mankind. The Bible even says that one day we're going to really see what he's really like. We only know what he's expressed himself as to you and me. Come on, are you with me? We only know, I mean, even the Father, the Son, the Bible says in the beginning, right? It says, and there are three witnesses in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Spirit, because the Son wasn't manifested yet. But when the Father, the Word, and the Spirit was established, that's when God chose to take this chunk out. He chose to be Father, Word, and Spirit. Are you with me? So in this, we know that time is everything. Are you with me? Now, we started on something yesterday. We like our Saturday morning meetings. So if time is the first thing that God created, do you think that anything associated with God's time is God's will? Anything that is not God's time is not God's will. Amen? So everyone say, God's time is God's will. God's will is God's time, and there's nothing else. Anything that is established out of time is not God's will. Come on, are you with me? It is so important that we really get to understand this. Because too many individuals are not establishing the kingdom of God or assisting in establishing the kingdom of God because they're moving out of God's time. They may be successful in the wrong assignment, which is the worst thing we could do. Amen? Individuals are not waiting on God, and individuals are not moving when God says move. And we know that the enemy interferes with that, doesn't he? Go to Romans 12, please. Oh, hallelujah. God's will is God's time. God's time is God's will. And that's that. Right? That's it. You know, but so many people are going, well, I've made a lot of sacrifices and this and that and whatever. Remember, God's not interested in your sacrifices, is he? He's interested in your obedience, because your obedience is the only thing that's going to keep you in line with God's time. And if you're in line with God's time, you're in line with God's will. In Romans 12 and verse 1, would you read it? I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you what? Present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable God, which is your reasonable service or your responsibility. The only way that you're going to ever fall into God's perfect time and his perfect will is if you constantly surrender yourself as a living sacrifice daily. Because if you can't surrender yourself to God, you can't fall in his timeline. That's why people go in circles. They go around mountains all the time. They fall short. They struggle. You know, it doesn't mean that we won't go through afflictions and we won't have trials and so forth. But as you're going through them, you'll never lose your peace or your joy. Anytime that you do, you're in the flesh and you're out of God's time. Being in the flesh will keep you out of God's time. Because what's happening is you've been pulled out of the Spirit, and the only place that God's perfect time is in the Spirit. Once you're out of the Spirit and you're in the flesh, you're out of God's time. That's why the whole world is out of God's time. Come on, think about it. Why? Because they're not in His will. God's perfect will is associated with His perfect time. Or else it's not God's will. Are you with me? Go to verse 2. And do not be conformed to this world. Why? Because the world is out of God's time. The Bible says that the world is passing away, isn't it? The lusts of it and so forth. It's coming to an end. It's not going to be today. Amen. But the Bible eventually says that, because there are stages of the earth, that eventually it's going to burn up, isn't it? And we're going to have a new heaven and a new earth. So we know it's coming to the end. Well, why would it come to the end? Because this whole realm is going to come to an end of time. Because God has predestined it. Why? So we can go on into the areas of eternity. See, that's why you can't get so caught up. That's why the Bible tells you don't get so entangled in the affairs of this world. Amen. He says, don't be conformed to this world, but be what? Transformed by the what? Renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the what? Good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So the only way that you're going to be able to really begin to walk in God's perfect time and perfect will is to stay renewed. And that means that the Holy Spirit will bring things to remembrance to you. Renewing. Of course, the word, and there is no word in Hebrew called mind. It's a representation of spirit or soul. So what we're doing is we're renewing us. We're constantly, the Holy Spirit's bringing us to remembrance. Why? So we can stay functioned in God's time. Are you with me? Amen. Because once you get out of God's time, you're in the flesh. And if you're in the flesh, the devil has access to you. Go to John 10. How many of y'all want God's perfect will? Good. Hallelujah. John chapter 10. Is everybody there? Must be a phone call from God. He's probably saying repent. Repent, didn't you hear me before you came in here? I told you to shut that thing off. Hallelujah. John 10, is everybody there? In verse 9. Would you read it with me, please? I am the what? The door. If anyone enters by me, he will be what? And will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to what? Steal and to kill and to destroy. And let me ask you something. Did you bind that spirit today, those spirits? Did you bind the spirit, that thieving spirit, that spirit of death and that spirit of destruction that will come against you today? If you didn't, you need to. Because you are warriors. God tells us right here they are, the spirit that what? What? Steals, kills, and destroys. Well, if you knew about that, there's a spirit of steals, kills, and destroys, why don't you bind him? I take authority over that mogul every day. I ain't letting him come at me. I have come that they may what? Have life. And have it what? Have it more abundantly. How many of y'all want more life abundantly? Well, then there's a couple things that you need to do. You got to walk in God's perfect time. that means you're walking in his will. If you're not in his will, you're not in his time. And if you're not in his time, you're not in his will. And that means that you must be obedient, because obedience is the only thing that's going to put you in God's will and God's time, not your sacrifices. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. Let's go a little further. Verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But a hireling, he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf catches the sheep and what? Scatters them. Oh, man. Let me tell you something. The one thing that will move you out, the thief comes to what? Steal, kill, and destroy. By moving you out of God's time, he will cause a scatter, because it affects everyone else. Do you know that when you are out of God's time, you affect everybody around you or associated with you? Amen? And the devil is going to use everything he can to get you moved out of God's time. Why? Because then he knows it's not God's will. Would you turn to Luke 19, please? We just have a simple reminder today. Luke 19, please. And verse 41. Hallelujah. Luke 19 and verse 41. Is everybody there? Let's read it together. Now as he drew near, he saw the city and wept over it, saying, if you had known, even you, especially in this your day, the things that make for your peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes. For days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment around you, surround you, and close you in on every side, and level you and your children within you to the ground. And it will not leave in you one stone upon another, because you did not know the time of your visitation. That's quite self-explanatory, isn't it? So when you're missing God's time, not only does it affect you, but affects everyone around you, doesn't it? You know, how many times does the Lord share with you, listen, I want you to go do this or go do that or read this, read that or whatever. And he's leading you to do something. Why? Because it's something specific in preparation for you either to sustain that day, to heal something from the past, or prepare for something in the future. But if we miss it, we fall into that temptation. We fall into that destruction. We fall in the air where the devil can steal. And we fall in the air we can kill a righteous seed. So God's time is everything, isn't it? Amen? Go to Acts 17. Oh, hallelujah. Is anybody hot in here? Well, lift your hands to heaven and get hot, will you? Man, there's ice building around my podium here. If I flip like this, you know. My wife made sure I wasn't going to get out today. In Acts 17 and verse 26. Hallelujah. And he has made, would you read it this with me, everybody here? Glory. And he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth, and has determined their what? Pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings, so that they should seek the Lord in the hope that they might grope for him and find him. Though he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as also some of your own poets have said. For we are also his what? His offsprings. Therefore, since we are the offsprings of God, we ought not to think that the divine nature is like gold or silver or stone, something shaped by art and man's deceiving. Truly, these times of ignorance of God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to what? Repent, because he has appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained. He has given assurance of this to all by raising him from the dead. Oh, hallelujah. So we see here that this is powerful because we know that there are pre-appointed, in other words, there's predestined times. Everything was predestined. How many know all God? God knows everything you've already done. He knows everything you're going to do. He looks at it and goes, oh man, I wish you wouldn't have done that. Well, let's set this up here. Okay, here. Now, the Bible says that we live and have our being in him, so he knows all things, doesn't he? That means knowing all things and omnipresent means he's past, present, and future. Because time does not hold him. He holds time. So he sees all things. Nothing is hidden from him. But it tells us right here that there are pre-appointed times, predestined times, to fulfill the perfect will for your life. For your life. And you know what? You know when you miss them. You know it. There's a grieving in the spirit. You know. In Hebrews 1. Hallelujah. Hebrews 1:1. Would you read it with me? Is everybody there? God, who at various times, various what? Times, and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory, and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become so much better than the angels, as he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Man, that says it all, doesn't it? I mean, that says it all right there. That's everything right there. He said, what? At various times. Now, various times are predestined times. In other words, at specific times, God predestined something for him to speak or to reveal himself or to visit. But if you're not in line with God's time, you'll miss it. How many of y'all believe that God sent you here today? If you did, then there's something specifically purposeful for you at this moment. What's he trying to do? You'll know by the end of the day. Or the end of the service. Or by the end of the message. In fact, I'll tell you at the end of the day. Or at the end of the message. Hallelujah. Let me share something with you. Sometimes he'll speak to us, right, in certain times. There's visitations, and this, I want you to get this. There's visitations of his voice. Come on, say, there's visitations of his voice. And sometimes these visitations where you're not paying attention are circumstances that cause you to pay attention. How many times, you know, God is so cool. You got to understand something. He loves us unconditionally. You'll fall into a circumstance, and then you'll finally go, what happened, Lord? And he'll say, well, I'm glad I got your attention. Now, come on. Let's get this over with. Let's get this done. I have a message for you, whatever it may be. Amen? See, because this is where all things can work to the good. You know how many people get sick? Man, do they put their attention on the Lord. Man, when they're in the hospital, whoa, man, they want all prayer, they want everything. When they're in financial trouble, whoo, whatever it may be, when there is a circumstance or a distress, whew, they look to heaven. At least they look to heaven, but God got their attention. If you remember, I believe it was last week, and the Spirit was saying that I was sharing with you that in my spirit there was going to be some disaster. I had no idea it was going to be massacring of teenagers. I was not told what it was, but I knew that something was going to happen, and it happened the next day. And in my spirit, if you recall, when I shared about this disaster, because it was going to draw people closer together, but the disaster was not ordained by God. The Bible says that man is destroyed for lack of knowledge. I mean, but if you really think about it, what are these colleges doing? They're teaching worldly wisdom, aren't they? I told you professors were stupid. They look at them as great wisdom. They have think tanks. They don't even know what they're thinking. They're thinking everything but what they're supposed to be thinking. You can go in your think tank. It's in this book. That's all you need. Amen? Here's your think tank. Hallelujah. And all of these things that are just occurring right now, and disasters and so forth. You know, the Bible even tells us in the latter days that things are going to happen. But you know what? Look how much attention has been stirred by this disaster. And then it was a terrible thing to happen. And my heart goes out for the families that have lost loved ones. You know, because these lives were just beginning. You know what? There were kings, queens, warriors, prophets, pastors, evangelists that were murdered. That never got to fulfill their call. Amen? Now you can't, you can't say who knows what or, you know, whether they were in God's time or whatever, because, you know, when you're in God's time, there's protection. And I can only look at the ones that didn't get killed. Amen? But then some of them who were murdered are now martyrs because of their faith. They stood with God. And people know about how they reacted there. Amen? But the individual that was used by the spirit of murder, my heart hurts for his family. You know? Can you imagine having a child that did it? Yow. Because all eyes are on mom and dad. You know? Maybe if they were in God's time, things would have been different. Amen? Regardless of all of that, I've heard now that the schools are now, they're starting heavy-duty prayer. And some of the colleges are uniting and so forth, even through the internet. But see, that disaster, that circumstance, I mean, you know how many people's attention, even though that your family members weren't involved, but the torment, the hurt that was in your spirit has caused people to pray for the colleges now. I've been praying for the students every single day, children though, and kids in school. Because my heart is to rescue the innocent. Oh, hallelujah. Would you turn to Isaiah 49? Isaiah 49. Hallelujah. In verse 8. Would you read it with me? In an acceptable, thus says the Lord, in an acceptable time I have what? Heard you. In a day of salvation I have what? Helped you. I will preserve you and give you as a covenant to the people to restore the earth. So he was talking about sending Jesus, wasn't he? to cause them to inherit the desolate heritages, that you may say to the prisoners, go forth. To those who are in darkness, show yourselves. They shall feed along the roads, and their pasture shall be on all desolate heights. They shall neither hunger nor thirst, neither heat nor sun shall strike them. For he who has mercy on them will lead them. Even by the springs of water he will guide them. I will make each one of my mountains a road, and my highways shall be elevated. Surely these shall come from afar. Look, those from the north and the west, and these from the land of Sinam. Sing, O heavens, be joyful, O earth, and break out in singing, O mountains. For the Lord has comforted his people and will have mercy on his afflicted. Let's go a little further. But Zion said, the Lord has forsaken me. Now look, we just read what God was going to do. And then Zion just turns around and says, wait a minute. God has forsaken me. That was a promise from God. And then they turned around and said, God has forsaken me. And my Lord has forgotten me. How many times has the devil told you that? You know what that does? It moves you out of God's time. We'll go more into that. Can a woman forget her nursing child and not have compassion on the son of her womb? Surely they may forget, yet I will not forget you. He will not what? Forget me. See, I have inscribed you on the palms of my hands. Would you read that with me? I have inscribed you on the palms of my hands. In other words, when he was pierced, your name was there. Your walls are continually before me. Your sons shall make haste. Your destroyers and those who laid you waste shall go away from you. Lift up your eyes, look around and see, and all these gather together and come to you. As I live, says the Lord, you shall surely clothe yourselves with them all as an ornament and bind them on you as a bride does. He said that there was an acceptable time, his time. He will put to plan what he heard and will give his son to free prisoners. How many of y'all been freed by Jesus? Amen, because you were a prisoner, taken captive. But you know one of the things that we were taken captive was? Spiritual pride. People are taken captive by spiritual pride invoked by the lie of non-acceptance. I want to say that again. Everyone repeat after me. Spiritual pride was invoked by the lie of non-acceptance. What we just read here was about the Lord making a promise and then the people saying, no, God has forgotten us. Are you with me? I want to go somewhere. Go to Acts. Go to Acts for a minute. Today's teaching is called Purely Accepted. So I shared all of this about time so that you would get an understanding about the importance of walking in God's time. But one of the main areas the devil loves to promote pride is an area where you have a sense that you are not accepted. It also promotes rejection, but we'll go more into this. Are you with me? Okay, good. In Acts, I think it's chapter 10. Hallelujah. In verse 36, chapter 10, verse 36. Is everybody there? The word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word you know, which was proclaimed throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. How God what? Anointed Jesus of Nazareth, with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who what? Who what? Who what? Who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with them. Oppressed. Now, I'm not going to talk about the spiritual of oppression, but we know that's associated with an individual who feels rejected or non-accepted. And that's one of the ploys of the enemy that wants to always get to this place where you are feeling unworthy, where you believe that you're not accepted, that you don't fit in. Why? Because those are the areas that the devil utilizes to get you out of God's time. Why? Because it causes you to focus on you. Oh, nobody loves me. Nobody ever listens to me. Every time I talk, they don't listen. Are you with me? With that, let me share something with you. Jesus was anointed to release individuals from that oppression, because it produces oppression, doesn't it? The more focus you have on yourself, the less you'll have on God. And the less you have on God, the less you can walk in God's will. Why? Because you can't walk in His time. He moves you right out, doesn't He? Okay, we just read there. Go to Genesis 3. Genesis 3. Say, I'm purely accepted, sealed with perfection. Now stay that way, will you? In Genesis 3, it says, now this, in verse 1, now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God made. So he's crafty. He's cunning, isn't he? He's subtle. He likes to slime in there. That's why I call him a slime ball. He's a slimer. He knows how to slide into places. And the next thing you know, he's in a place where you're like, man, how did I get here? Or why did I do what I did? Now the serpent was more cunning, right? And he said to the woman, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. So she knew what God said, didn't she? But then the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die. For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Wow. So this is powerful, because the first thing he says is, God said, you're going to die, right? And the serpent said, no, you're not going to die. What was he doing? He was implying God lied, right? And you were not really accepted by him. Does everybody understand this? See, when you have a sense that somebody's holding something back from you, there is that sense that the devil puts in that says, you're not accepted. See, and this is how the devil operates. And God wants to bring us into a deeper arena of this deception. Because many people fall in the area where they don't feel accepted or they feel rejected. And oppression and all kinds of garbage comes upon them. Then they do, well, woe is me. Amen? And then the spirit of oppression and every demon in hell wants to eat from you. Amen? Because that spirit of oppression will eat you up. And it always moves you out of God's time. Is everybody okay? Y'all look cold. Are you cold? Well, then fix it. Don't sit here shaking. Man, I'm cool. Come on, lift your hands to heaven and get a drink, will you? Hallelujah. Man, man, some of you can't lift your hands up, you're so cold. You guys are making me cold. I'm looking at you and you're going, huh? I'm going to duck in case somebody throws a snowball. Come on. I won't feel accepted. I'll feel rejected. Hallelujah. So the devil always wants to imply that God lied to you and is holding something back, doesn't he? Why? So he can embark the spirit of rejection or the spirit of that brings you an area of non-acceptance. Say non-acceptance. Now look what she does. Because she's feeling rejected, non-acceptable, because she sensed that God was holding something back from her. Because that's what the devil said, right? He said, man, so, hey, listen. If you eat of this, you're going to be like God. You know, if you, that means he created you. He's holding something back from you. Come on. If you eat of this, you're going to be just like him. Don't you feel rejected? Come on. You don't have to listen to, you're not going to die. You're going to live forever. You know, come on. If you eat of this, you'll be like him. So what was he saying? If you eat of this, you're going to live forever. Don't listen to him. He's holding this back from you. Come on. It's okay. I'll accept you. Even though he's rejected you. Come on, I'll accept you. Just eat of this. And so she did. So when a woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate, and she also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Surprise. Then the eyes of both of them were open, but they were actually closed, weren't they? They were open to another realm and closed to the spirit realm. From that point on, they no longer saw God. They only heard him. And they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. Wow. Okay. Are you ready? So the devil lied, implied that God was lying to them, holding something back, trying to impart non-acceptance and the spirit of rejection. And then he water deceived and convinced her that God didn't want her to be like him. He convinced her that God didn't want, and she was already like him because they were made in the image and likeness of God, weren't they? What was he trying to do? Get her out of God's time. Amen. Now, so he wanted her to believe that God wasn't trying to remove her, or God wasn't accepting her. And by this, there was something more. There was something more that God was holding back from her, but the devil was offering her something better. Amen? So he's saying, listen, if you follow me, no problem. And the devil watered that seed, convinced her that God didn't want her to be like him because she wasn't accepted or good enough, which produces rejection. Do you understand this? See, the devil isn't stupid. The Bible says he's most cunning. He's the greatest con artist. See, when you were out there thinking you were conning people, you were the one being conned, weren't you? Oh, hallelujah. Now, because she didn't believe that she was accepted or wasn't good enough and it produced rejection, then this birthed pride. Why? I'll tell you in a second. So she disobeyed, rebelled, and became a betrayer, didn't she? Understand this. Pride protects self. So from that point on, she wanted something to protect her. Are you with me? So here's the devil. He's explaining to her, listen, man, I got to get this. The devil's, man, I got to get her out of God's time. I got to take over this. I got, because I lost it and I want it back. So I've got to get these people out of God's will. And the only way to get them out of God's will is to get them out of God's time. So he pulled her out of God's time when he spoke with her. Are you with me? And when she responded back, then he convinced her that God was holding something back from her and that she was being rejected or not accepted because God was holding something back from her. And he began to water that seed by talking with her. And when he convinced her to take of this fruit, she partook of it, and it moved everything out of God's time. From that point on, everything changed, didn't it? Everything. Now, what occurred right here, because she was accepting what the devil was saying to her, and that rejection or non-acceptance or unworthiness came about, pride was saying, look it. Because the serpent was the originator of pride, right? Was saying, listen, I got to protect me. I got to protect me. Do you understand that? Pride always protects self. Are you with me? Oh, hallelujah. The devil will always promote unacceptance. That's his job. Because it is related to rejection, which institutes pride to protect self. Do I need to repeat that? You got it? Okay. The devil will always promote unacceptance because it is related to rejection, which institutes pride to protect self. Now remember, if you go back to the book of Acts, the Bible says that Jesus was anointed to destroy the spirit of oppression. Amen? The devil that what? Oppresses. Do you realize how many believers are oppressed? Do you know how many people are still coming out of the arena of rejection? Do you know how many people are still coming to the arena that feel unaccepted? Unworthy? You know what that does? It moves them out of God's will. Because the focus is on self. Listen, pride was promoted. When she went and she took of that fruit, pride was already established. Or she wouldn't have taken that fruit. So she had already accepted the lie of the voice of the stranger. And pride was already saying, listen, I got to protect myself. And she took the fruit and everything fell. Then little flesh creatures were born. Go to Ephesians 1. Say, I've been purely accepted. No matter what. No matter what the devil tells me. And when the devil tells me I'm unworthy, I'm rejected, and nobody loves me, I'm not going to take it anymore. I'm not going to eat of that fruit. I'm not going to associate with pride and reject God. See, one of the things that pride promotes is rebellion and betrayal. Has everybody got it? So what happened right there in the garden, the devil convinced her to accept his character of pride. Because see, what happened to him, he was trying to produce to her. Except for, he rejected God, didn't he? Pride. Oh, hallelujah. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse something. Is everybody there? Good. Read it, will you? Ephesians 1 and verse 3. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord, Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with what? Every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. So, do you think somebody who didn't love you wouldn't bless you at every place in heaven? Come on. You are blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world that we should be what? Holding without blame before him in love, having predestined us to the adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us what? Accepted in the beloved. Say, I'm accepted. We are accepted in the beloved, just the way you are. See, the devil will do this. The Bible says be ready in season and out. That doesn't mean you're ready. You're just to be ready in whatever season. Are you understanding that? Because none of us is ever ready. So what he's wanting us to do is be ready for the what's going on. But we're not ready. Our purpose is just to yield. Because if you're focusing on whether you're ready or not, you ain't ready. None of us is ready. So when God's trying to do something, you focus on yourself. Oh, you know what? I need to lose more weight. I'm not ready. I need to gain more weight. I'm not ready. I need to be worried my word more. I need to do this. I need to do that. What's happening? Well, you don't feel worthy. Hello? You feel unaccepted. Well, I'm just not smart enough. Well, join the club. Hello? We're all a bunch of boneheads. But we have the mind of Christ. Hallelujah. Why? Because we're foolish. But he turned something foolish into something wonderful. See, but when you're focusing on all these areas, this is what the devil wants you to do. He'll prevent you from moving in God's will, moving forward, because your focus is on unaccepted, unworthy. Oh, woe is me. Oh. You know when people get sick, the devil eats them up. When I get sick, I thank God it's time for rest. Hello? I don't want to be sick. And it's not that God got me sick. I got myself sick for not getting enough rest. Amen? Or you touch a cursed thing, right, that brings sickness. My wife liked that confession. But see, this is where you're to count it all joy. You know, many people are so caught up in their circumstance, they can't count it joy. Why? Because they feel like they've been rejected, not accepted, unworthy. And they get caught up in the woe is me, and they're looking at everything about them instead of looking what he did. See, it's what he did that has set you free. It's what he did that put you in position. It's what he did that brings you joy. It's what he did that brings you peace. It's what he did that brings you worthiness. It's what he did that brings you healing. It's what he did that brings you deliverance. It's what he did that brings you into the kingdom. Nothing you did. But see, the devil wants to put it on you. Amen? He wants to put it on you. And then we get all freaky. Oh, God, help me. I'm not worthy. We repent for months on something that he doesn't even remember. I've done it. Oh, Lord, how can you forgive me? Forgive you for what? Well, you know, I don't remember it. But every morning you wake up repenting of the same thing. Oh, Lord, I did it again. Don't you remember I did in 1805? Go to Jeremiah 29. Oh, but you got to understand. Now, this is the serious part of it. If you bite that bait, you move out of God's time. Why? Because he's distracted you. And he knows exactly when the Lord's about to visit you. He knows exactly when God's trying to get something to you. And so he's going to distract you by, woe is me. You're going to get offended, or you're going to be rejected, or something's going to, you know, the reason why we get offended, of course, we know we're too alive. And because we have that sense that we're not accepted or we've been rejected. How many times did you try and tell somebody something and they took it the wrong way? You know why? Because the enemy is dealing with them in the area of unacceptance, unworthiness, or rejection. You try to tell somebody, man, you know, I really love you. You don't love me! Sure I do. from a distance. Next time I'll call you, I won't stop by, you know. I mean, you got to use wisdom too. You know? That person ain't delivered, deliver them from a distance, you know. Hallelujah. Whew, got hot in here, didn't it? See? Whew, glory. I'm cooking. Oh, hold on. Hallelujah. There's a wind blowing. Jeremiah 29. Is everybody there? You're quick. Jeremiah 29 and verse 11. Are you getting this? In this simple teaching today? Have you been accepted? Yes. Purely accepted. I am purely accepted. No matter what my neighbor thinks about me. In verse 11, would you read it? For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord. Thoughts of what? Peace and not of evil. To give you a future and a hope. Wow, isn't that something? And you will call upon me and go and pray to me. And I will what? I will what? Oh, isn't that something? He's going to listen. Oh, God, don't hear me. I've been praying for this for years. And he's still not answered me. I'm going to pray for something else. Hello? But see, the devil always try to bring you on acceptance because God didn't answer you when you wanted him to. You don't think he knows he's right there. Oh, come on, you prayed for that yesterday. It should have been here by now. Oh, you're just not unworthy. You're unworthy. God doesn't really love you. Come on, eat some more of this fruit. I have something better to offer you. What's that doing? Moving you out of position. It's moving you out of God's time. Why? Now your focus is on you. Oh, what have I done wrong, Lord? What have I done wrong? Nothing. Will you get over here? You listened to the voice of the stranger. That's what you did. You accepted his rejection and rejected my acceptance. Come on, say it with me. Say what? What are you listening? You accepted the devil's rejection and rejected the Lord's acceptance. Amen? Hallelujah. Oh, to God be the glory. Let's go to the next verse. You will seek me and what? Find me when you search for me with all of your heart. So we know he's going to listen. His thoughts towards us are good. He's got a plan for us. You know, when I don't know what to do, I just say, God's got a plan. I mean, I don't know what's up. God's got a plan. Because I don't need to know what's up. If he wanted me to know what's up, he'd let me know. Amen. So God's got a plan. Well, what do you mean God's got a plan? Yes, he's got a plan. He just said it right here. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not evil, to give you a future and a hope. God's got a plan. There it is right there. Amen? He's got a plan. Do I need to figure it all out? No. Do I need to be concerned that God can't fulfill it? No. Go to 1 Corinthians 6. Oh, hallelujah. Glorious hallelujahs. Paul pulpit Spanish. And First Corinthians 6, please. Is everybody there? Hallelujah! Are you getting this? Oh, what's God preparing you for? To kick butt on rejection. Amen? Non-acceptance. To get your eyes off yourself. Come on, many of us have gone through this from past. And we need to be healed from this right now. Well, you were abused because you were rejected and unaccepted. No, you were abused because the devil was possessing somebody. It had nothing to do with your unacceptance at all. You were worthy. Well, then why didn't God rescue me? Are you here now? Well, then don't go over there. Amen? You here now? Are you in God's will now? Hallelujah. That's all that matters. Why go to the past? Why didn't God do this? Why didn't he come when I was crying? Why didn't he come and fix things whenever? Why? Because we probably weren't in a position to do it. We weren't in a position to cooperate. Amen? We don't know. We probably, every one of us in here, missed many visitations from the Lord to rescue us. But fear prevented us. Woe was me prevented us. Or we didn't know the truth. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. We just didn't know. I thought all churches were as dead as the one I was going to. I didn't know. I thought they all lied, just like everybody else. Till the Lord straightened me up, healed me up, filled me up, and killed me. Praise God. And I'm still working on that daily. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 17, would you read it with me? But he was joined to the Lord as one spirit with him. Flee sexual immorality. Every sin that a man does is outside the body. But he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Now listen, if you were bought, then you were found worthy to purchase. You don't buy junk, do you? No. So God found you worthy to purchase, didn't he? And he said, listen, it's not your life no more. I got it. Come on, you tried to run your life for a long time. Now give me it. You are not unworthy. You are not rejected. The Bible even says when your mother and father and all your people reject you, God is there. Amen. Why? Because this area will always move you out of God's time. Well, how could this person do this to me? You can't allow your circumstances to open the door of rejection to you or unworthiness. If somebody's lied to you, offended you, stole from you, whatever. It's not that person that's put you in that place. You put yourself in that place by listening to the voice of the stranger. Amen. Why? Because we have dominion over these things. We're kings and priests. God's time is what? God's will. Oh, hallelujah. Go to Ephesians 1:13. Are you all right? God's time is God's will. And the devil knows how to get you out of it, doesn't he? So, one of the areas of the root of pride, which we don't even realize, it's a promoter of pride, is unacceptance, isn't it? Because we have a sense that we are not accepted, then that's how people build walls, don't they? Because what they're trying to do is protect themselves, and pride is a wall builder. Amen? I'm not going to get hurt again. Well, you don't want to let yourself get hurt the first time. Hello? I'm not going to do this again. I'm not going to do that again. You know, what that does is put people in bondage then. Because they're afraid of being rejected or unaccepted. People get caught up in shells. And it moves them right out of God's timing. And it takes healing. But healing comes forth by acknowledgement. Because if you don't know what's going on, you're deceived. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. So now when you sense that from this day forth, your life will change. Because you'll know that you are accepted. You know that you're not rejected. He bought you with a price. You're the temple of God Almighty. And it's not your own life anymore. So you don't have to worry about trying to maintain it. He will. That's all you need to do is stay underneath the governing laws of God. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. In verse 13, are you there? Would you read it with me? Oh, let me get there. In him you also what? Trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also having believed, you were what? Sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance till to the redemption of the purchased possession due to the praise of his glory. Wow, so you are sealed with perfection. Say, I'm sealed with perfection. I am not rejected. I am accepted. I'm worthy. The devil's a liar. Go to 2 Corinthians 2:12. Oh, hallelujah. So things aren't going your way? Praise God. Count it all joy. It's not your way anyways. Amen? 2 Corinthians 2:12. Would you read it with me? Furthermore, when I came to... Am I there? Yeah. Taurus, to preach Christ's gospel, and a door was opened to me by the Lord. I had no rest in my spirit because I did not find Titus my brother, but taking my leave of them, I departed for Macedonia. Now thanks be to God who always leads us in what? Triumph in Christ, and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. For we are to God the what? Fragrance of Christ. Come on, you're a what? Fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are what? Perishing. Wow. So everybody say, I'm a fragrance of Christ to him. Oh, and I pray this gets in your spirit so that you'll never be diffused. Hello? By the knowledge that Christ loves you. The Bible tells us that nothing could separate us from the love of God. But we have a hard time with that. Even when we quote this, we go, oh, nothing can separate me from the love of God. Where are you? Amen. Come on, the Bible says that's all you and I need to have is a willing mind. That's all we need to have is a willing mind. In John 16, would you read it with me? John 16. Hallelujah. Everybody there? In verse 14, and it says, and the Holy Spirit will come, and he will glorify me, and he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things the Father has are mine, therefore I said he will take of mine and what? Declare it to you. In other words, if a father didn't love you, he wouldn't give you all things, would he? He wouldn't bless you with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places, would he? He wouldn't give you dominion and power. He wouldn't buy you back. He wouldn't die for you. And go to John 15 and verse 16. He said, you did not choose me, but I what? Chose you. Come on, say that with me. You did not choose me, but I chose you just the way you are. And appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should what? Remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he what? May give you. So he's not holding anything back from you. He chose you. You didn't choose him. And I want to close at John 17. John 17 and verse 13. And it says, but now I come to you, Father. These things I speak in the world, that they may what? Have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world. Why? Because you got joy and peace that they don't have. Just as I am not of the world. I did not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth. So this foolishness of oppression, woe is me, rejection, unworthiness, has got to stop. From this day forward, don't you ever again let the devil trick you in that area that you're not worthy. Or woe is me. Just because somebody doesn't respond to something doesn't give you the right to allow the devil to come in and tell you, oh, they don't want to talk to me. Or they don't want to do this with me. Or they don't want to do that with me. You got too much I involved. Hello. Get your eyes off yourself. Come on out of that pride of protection. And accept everything he has paid the price for you. Amen. Father, we give you glory, honor, and praise. And we thank you, Lord. And we just take this opportunity and repent for accepting that we're not accepted. Lord, we repent for the lie of unworthiness. We repent for the lie of rejection. We repent for protecting ourselves with pride. Lord, we ask for your forgiveness and every corruptible seed that's been imparted in us, whether spirit, soul, or body, of unworthiness, unacceptance, and rejection. Woe is me. And spiritual pride, we command to wither and die right now in the name of Jesus. And we break and loose ourselves from every associated spirit and command those spirits to loose us and to leave us and go back to the pit where they came from in the name of Jesus. Lord, you have purely accepted us just the way we are because you chose us. We didn't choose you, but now we choose you and accept everything you have, and we'll give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.